We're going to talk about the business of Plone, and we're going to give a little bit of information about the Plone Foundation. I'm Paul Everett, founder of Zope Europe Association. This is not a Zope Europe Association talk. If you want a Zope Europe Association talk, see a really tall guy named Xavier. Xavier, are you here? Okay. I'll point him out to you. Joel Burton and I, Joel's already given a presentation, so he doesn't get another introduction. Joel and I have the wonderful job at the Plone Foundation of whenever there's work to be done that no one wants to do, that's when we show up. So for the Plone Foundation, he and I are not members of the board, we're just kind of like staff, and one of our big jobs is to communicate. And for this talk, we want to communicate to a specific audience, which is people in the business of Plone. And we want this to be a little bit like a town hall kind of, we talk with you, you talk with us, we talk with each other. So let's start by, raise your hand if you sell Plone. If you use Plone to generate revenue, consulting or anything like that, raise your hand. That's a good number. Raise your hand if you are a customer, not a user, but a customer of Plone, where you've paid for getting Plone work done. Anybody for that one? Probably around 10, maybe around 15. The center of our talk is connecting those two worlds. So I'll turn it over to Joel to get our presentation kicked off.
The first thing we wanted to do was, Paul and I have had a few open door sessions on IRC with our community, basically to share news about what the foundation's been up to, gather information and answer questions, you know, connect people to talk more about things that have piqued their interest or they're curious about. So we wanted to do a pretty brief walkthrough of what's happened in the last 2 months for the foundation, especially pulling out things that would interest business users of Plone. The first thing is that we have developed our membership model and also developed a membership. So we chose a membership model where individuals are members of the foundations that have demonstrated merit. And Paul did a lot of good work, and the membership committee did a lot of good work trying to help us understand what we meant by merit. But essentially, it's shaken out to things that have a real impact on the community and things that have been sustained. Someone who hasn't given once or twice, but has given over a period of time and suggests that they're going to keep giving over a period of time. So those are our merit guidelines, which are online at the Plone Foundation site, plone.org/foundation. From that, we've put out a call for membership. We've gotten a great response. We had about 65 members last time I looked, and as the network has been up and down today, we've gotten a few more that's trickled in. But if you can apply today, if you think that you've met our merit guidelines, please do so. We're going to be accepting members as much as we can vote on them until the very start of our meeting tomorrow. So if you're interested in member, and of course after that as well, but you won't be able to be in the meeting tomorrow. So if you're interested, please continue to apply. Find a web browser somewhere that will get you to plone.org and go ahead and apply there.
One of the reasons we're talking about this foundation at all is Computer Associates administered a nice kick in the butt to us to get moving and start putting all this hype that we've been talking about for over a year into action to really make a foundation. As part of that and as part of the seed money that they provided, we passed a resolution, the initial board, not me, I'm not on the board. The board passed an initial resolution to give CA two board seats during this incubation period. And the bylaw language, I think, is available in the minutes. And one of the things that when we first started talking about Computer Associates and the Plone Foundation, there were a lot of questions about that, particularly for smaller consulting companies in various countries in Europe. What does this mean for me? Robert Boulanger had a good way of putting it where he said, you know, is this where the mighty lizard steps on me and squishes me? And in talking with Marcel at CA, I really got a good feeling for why that is really not the case. In fact, the reverse is true about what opportunities might be available. Marcel, can you raise your hand? Or stand up so everybody can see. If you would like to know more about what CA's involvement, what can it mean for your company, they have a booth over here. They will periodically be over there. Go up and ask them, let them talk to you about it.
The other thing that's come out in the past few board meetings is that the board has instituted a class of board membership of honorary board seats. These are non-voting seats primarily probably for organizations that we feel like we would really do well to have a tight connection between the board and between these organizations so we can use their services or provide services with them. The first of these honorary board seats has gone to an organization that's a client of mine, Porter Novelli Interactive, which is a marketing firm that I think Alan and Alex mentioned this morning has donated a good-sized package of pro bono consulting on marketing for Plone. So we're hoping that from that we'll really be able to get a much broader and wider message, and we'll talk about specifically how that can help those of us that are ourselves consultants. I'm an independent consultant, about how we can use that to get more business for us and help the foundation pay your bills.
This next part is where Joel and I lick our finger and stick it in the light socket just to prove how painful it is. When we started this Plone Foundation discussion, we had the pleasure of a deadline because, as I said, CA administered a kick in the butt to us, and they had a major, how many people go to CA World? 10,000 people at CA World with approximately the same number of journalists. And Alan, in his keynote this morning, said the deer in the headlight thing when he was on the panel. Alan's sitting on a panel with hundreds of journalists in the audience, sitting with, Mark is what, two hops from the top of CA? One hop. Sitting with Mark Barenshay, who's one hop from the head guy at CA, talking about what Plone. And for Alan, that must have been an awesome experience to think that, because at EuroPython 2 years ago, I think that was, had Plone One launched then when you and Alan gave the first talk? So Plone One had launched. Solutions Linux. Okay. So it was in, we'll say, pre-launch or something. And the two creators of it had never met each other before. And within the space of a year and a half from that, Alan is giving a press conference with someone near the top of Computer Associates. So the point being, when we started that, we were really pushing to talk about the intellectual property situation for Plone. Who owns what? Who has signed what? This, that, and the other thing. We kind of rushed into a discussion about the way we thought it should be. Joel and I would like to kind of press the reset button, slow things down, make sure that everyone understands nothing has been pre-decided, pre-cooked. We are Plone, we, the royal we, are Plone, and we will make the decisions about what to do. And the Free Software Foundation, even Moglen from the Free Software Foundation has been talking with us about something he calls a conservancy model. I'm not going to explain it, we've got a page up about it. And what we'd like to do is just put that idea in motion, see what other ideas are available, and at the membership meeting tomorrow, talk more in depth about this. Specifically about dual licensing.
One of the points that I wanted to be very clear about was dual licensing or relicensing of Plone is a large subject. It's one there's a lot of opinion about how it could benefit our community or how it might not benefit our community. And the board wants to make sure that the membership has a great chance to hear that, discuss that, and vote on that. Absolutely, that decision will come from the membership. What Paul and I were discussing was, we all think, though, that the conservancy model, which is not saying we're going to dual license, the conservancy model says we're going to be able to speak for and protect Plone's IP is the best choice for Plone. And the board has voted a resolution that says we think this is the best choice for Plone. And so we are going to ask the community to enter those discussions with us very soon. And when Paul and I discussed this, one thing that I said was we have got to make sure that a vote for conservancy is not a vote for dual licensing. And so the board has made a very clear resolution that says, we want to get conservancy, which again, you can read all about on the website in the foundation section, but we want to be able to make sure that the foundation can speak for and protect the IP of Plone, and we will have no dual licensing, in effect, absolute guaranteed, until there's a majority vote from the membership about how that would work and how that will happen. So we want to make sure that there's no attempt to say, oh my God, if we go down this path, dominoes are falling. They're entirely different things. So that's the point we're going to be talking about tomorrow.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of time for questions here. Some of it's going to be come and talk to us afterwards because of the time constraints. Are there questions we can answer what we've covered so far?
Russ.
This is so Oprah, isn't it? The membership meeting is tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Yeah.
Actually, you have announced membership forms for individual members, no? But institutions which have been contributing to open source can...
Yeah, that's an open question right now that we have, or the board, I should say again, has taken an interim position on, which is right now it is individuals, not companies that are members of the Plone Foundation. So, of course, a company that contributes a great deal means they have three or four people that are fantastic contributors to Plone and, of course, have demonstrated the kind of merit that will give them membership. But at this time, it's not open for a corporate membership, but for individual membership for those who've demonstrated merit. But we certainly hope we're going to have, you know, coming out some ideas about how do we, you know, answer the question of tying that together with business a bit.
Just a quick point, an addendum to that, which is an addendum to just about every response we might make, which is we don't want to make too many decisions with the interim self-appointed board that we have right now. We've got to bootstrap the membership and then let them say companies or individuals.
Yeah, just on that same point, I think you said the Plone Foundation has something like 65 members at the moment. Is that correct? And from what I understand from what you're saying, that the Plone Foundation will eventually decide on the future of Plone in terms of its licensing strategy and various other important questions. So what kind of membership are you expecting it to have in terms of numbers for it to be truly representative of the Plone community? I would suggest that 65 is nowhere near enough.
The point was about how many members should we have, when have we reached inclusiveness. At this point, and again, we really have a bootstrapping board. Tomorrow we'll have an elected board, and I think that the elected board will have a chance, of course, to also gather input on this. But right now we focused on primarily, as the Apache Software Foundation does, primarily developers. And those people who have demonstrated extraordinary merit in donating time towards things like documentation, website maintenance, things like that, who've really given back to the organization. And we're accepting applications. There's no set number. Right now, we've got 65 people that have met that definition. I think there are more people out there. We just haven't heard from them yet. I don't know that we have an idea that it's going to be 200 or 100 or a billion. We just don't know. It's whoever meets those merit qualifications. One last question on what we've talked about so far. Yeah, Jeff.
Not so much a question, just an elaboration on this
one. Elaborate.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you're somebody that is a stakeholder, if you're concerned about wanting to have a say in what goes on with Plone, the best way to do that is to contribute to the furtherance of the organization and become a member. So, you know, it's not just for developers, and there are, as Joel has said, there are a variety of ways to contribute. I mean, we need people doing things like evangelizing, helping with translations, doing documentation. You know, if this is important to you, please, you know, contribute something and join up. And if you have trouble thinking of something you can do, I'm sure there are people that can help you.
Absolutely.
What's next? Okay, so that was the kind of get you caught up on some things going on with the Plone Foundation. Over to the title of this presentation, which is The Business of Plone. What we want to talk about a little bit from a foundation perspective, but mostly from a how can the foundation provide the forum to talk about this, is how do all the small companies that are involved in Plone and all of the customers that depend on them, how do they start to tackle some of the problems and some of the questions and some of the things that they need? And how can we take that information and communicate it to the right people? If you look at other foundations like the ASF or the GNOME Foundation or something like that, they're very developer-oriented, maintenance of the code, stuff like that. The history of Zope and, to a degree, the history of Plone has always been driven a lot by small consultants who have bet their business on this software. We've always had a little bit more of a commercial feel, a lot more of a solution-oriented rather than a technology focus. And to that degree, we want the foundation to reflect that and put those kinds of issues in scope. We do not want the foundation to become some Uber org that assimilates all of you. We've got enough work just publishing our freaking minutes for the board meeting. So we can't take on all of that. But what we can try and do is get the dialogue started and see if there are people who are committed to talking about this who will step forward, join the foundation, work on a committee, things like that. The tools and evaluators, I think, is your point. You want that one?
Right, and in particular, the foundation is not, it's not in our scope to become, you know, Plone Europe or such, as Zope Europe acts as an aggregator of services or connecting customers to service providers. One of the roles that we do think that the foundation can and should offer is to offer to the whole community marketing materials, materials for evaluators, things that you can easily and quickly brand yourself that talk about why Plone is an excellent solution for your customers, things you can give to your customers, screenshots, flash movies, things like that that they can take away in evaluating Plone. So not getting in the business of connecting you directly with customers and certainly not trying to aggregate or offer commercial services at all, but making available to the entire community, here are some marketing materials, here are images, logos, screenshots, sales quotes, things like that that might be useful pieces for you to know. Because again, a lot of us are small, independent, 2, 3, 4, 5 person shops, and it's hard to create that kind of work as an independent. I find it hard, I expect a lot of you find it hard, to create quality materials like that. And that's one role we certainly want to play.
We'd intended to pass out a paper survey, but the network connection foiled that attempt. We'll pass it out tomorrow. And the idea is, please fill it out. It'll have about 5 questions and what country are you from, stuff like that. And we'll try our best to collect that information, report back the results. Here, though, we'd like to take some of these questions, put them on the floor, get a show of hands. On some of them, they aren't really questions about show of hands. They are tell us what you think kinds of things. This is a chance for me to either be really wrong and owe Joel some beer, or for you to prove that I'm right. I have a supposition, and either way, I guess I'll owe you some beer. So choice A, or 1, 2, 3, or 4, raise your hand if the number of total employees, I don't mean people work on Plone, the total size of the organization that you're with is 1 to 3 people. Raise your hand. 1 to 5, even better. What do you want? You want to take a guess at that, 30, a third? A quarter or a third? 6 to 10? Okay. 11 to 100? Woo! I imagine if I said 11, you would all raise your hand again. And then over 100. Wow. That's more of a distribution than I thought. Okay, so my supposition was that the first would have about half. I think some people would claim that I was wrong. But until you produce proof and witnesses. This is an important piece of information for how we approach the foundation. Who's it serving? What interests is it serving? If you look at the camp represented by D, they've got a lot of resources, a lot of firepower to take care of themselves. And what they need from us is more just knowing that Plone has adult supervision. The first camp and the second camp, though, are populated a lot by developers who'd rather be writing code than flaming logos. And Joel and I have been talking repeatedly about the eWeek problem. When Plone 2 came out, eWeek, which is a major US periodical, wrote a review of Plone. Raise your hand if you saw that review. At least the majority saw that.
It was a very big deal.
Yes, I mean, it's getting us on an important radar as a validator. And the article was, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, and then, but you can't find solution providers and support. They should be here because they get educated. Now, getting them educated requires a foundation that has the official voice of Plone to go collect facts, present it to them, and say, see, we've got a global presence just like some of those competitors. So now it's next time it's going to be love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. You want this one?
Sure. This is more over style. Thank you.
The question here, and this is, we'll just do some shout outs from a few people, is when you're selling Plone or you're in your strategy meetings talking about how are we going to sell Plone to a client or internally in your organization perhaps, what are the key selling points for you? Go ahead and raise your hand if you have something to say, if you can shout loud, or we'll get you a microphone. Flexibility. Python. Heard of that? It's open source. That's a key selling point for you? Great. It's not Microsoft. You can get started right away. So out of the box, it does something obvious. Usability. Now, by usability, do you mean particularly like the UI is usable to everyone? Okay, great. Thank you. So again, a sort of fast ramping up.
Yeah, multi-language.
Multi-language support. We should give a hand actually to our translation teams because we have rocking, fantastic multi-language support. So. That's been a big selling point for a lot of us, I think, here. Accessibility, another really good point. I think that we're way ahead of a lot of our competition. Yeah. Multilingual as well. Any other key selling points? Yeah.
It looks like any structure.
A good programming structure. You haven't looked at the collective, have you? But yes, generally you have an excellent programming structure to build on. But what you do with it is... That's true. Yeah. Fast development. Yeah, I mean, rapid development is kind of a buzzword, I think, but we really can do that well. I think that's a lot of people. Elegant migration. Are you talking within Plone, or are you talking about from other systems? Within Plone. So version changes may be less of a hassle. One last piece. A very clean user interface. I think for a lot of people, that's really the obvious upfront one.
All the way in the back.
Security.
All right.
Good. Let's close up.
Last one. Object orientation.
Object orientation. That's a selling point for your end customers, that you have savvy end customers. All right, Seb. We give up. What is it? CA, all right. Well, that's, you know, one of the questions is CA provides a really great, I mean, we're excited at my main client about being able to say, hey, we've got a multi-billion dollar company standing, you know, right here on stage with us, and that's a good deal for us. All right. I got the good news.
But we're missing a word there, I think.
If you haven't cloned this year, if you've chosen something other than Plone, or you've recommended something other than Plone,
or you lost to someone who chose Plone and they told you why.
Right. And this is like Las Vegas. What's said here stays here. So.
Yeah, right. Community. What? Community. Wait. No. This is what they have that we don't. Oh, sorry. Here. Performance. Good start. Same. Scott? Popularity. All right. Version control content. The e-week issue. Okay. Anthony? JSR. Someone has actually said that? Okay, sorry, JSR compliant, JSR is a Java spec for a repository for content management systems. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so the JSR proposal for the portal. Portal, second. Matt? We're not micro. Didn't you say that before?
That was the last question.
Scott? Ability to find programmers, all right. Because it's not Java. Yeah. Big engine workflow. Oh, over here in the hat. That's a good point. That's a good point. In the mainstream market, the way you have a relationship is with money, right? Martijn?
Security.
Anyone else? What's that? Documentation. I'm not repeating what you said. Anyone have a closing? All the sites look. It's what they say. It's no. It's the. It's. It is. It is. I agree. I agree. I agree. How about this? Raise your hand if you've heard the complaint. All the sites look the same. All right. So this is. Yeah. What's that?
I'm gonna chop my head off now.
What do you mean?
For making all the sites look the same. So is it my fault that they don't want to change?
That's exactly what it is. In order to change it, you've got to be better than Leamy. Okay, anyone want to have the last one? Lack of big customers? Big names on the customer list? We're getting there. We're getting there. All right, next. If you want to help solve the problem about big name customers, you got to pony up the names. We could make them up, but people would figure it out sooner or later.
This morning during Alan and Alex's talk, they gave had a slide that said, you know, big clone sites that were launched this year, and there were four names on it. Raise your hand if you'd like next year to see your company's site that you launched on that big sites of clone. I mean, I market myself. I want to see my sites there. We want to put your names on that slide, but we don't know what you're doing yet. So we're working on that too. So we want to have if you just raise your hands there, we want to hear from you. PR@plone.org are the people that want to help make case studies out of that. So we'll do whatever it takes. We'll interview you in email to pull the information out. We'll write it up. We'll post it up. We want to make some excellent case studies in different industries for organizations of different sizes, but especially for those sites that are well-known, that are large, that really show interesting features. We want to make sure we don't just have a long list of sites. We have some excellent, strong case studies. So PR@plone.org. Tell us about it. We'll take it from there.
What about sites that aren't actually public websites? You can't actually see them. I imagine a lot of the work people have done are not actually publicly available for viewing.
That's a good question. And is the existence is something you also can't say?
I mean, no,
okay, that's fine. Then. That's fine. Then. That's still a case. That's exactly right. That's a case study.
And getting involved in writing these case studies would be a great way to contribute some merit.
That's right. Okay, we're going to take a little bit of time before closing to give Takeshi a chance to talk about something wonderful that's happening recently with the Plone community in Japan. Are you here, Takeshi?
Okay. Thank you very much for giving me such a great opportunity. I'm Takeshi Yamamoto. I'm President and CEO of Zope Japan Corporation, and I'm a regular member of this Plone events. And so it was last year, New Orleans, I met with many people. So anything happened, and so after that, after the New Orleans conference, the Clone JP started as I promised. So and now renovation is going on, and I think the So then December, I started the Clone seminar. It's a small private study session every other week. It's held in the Saturday. So the famous guy, Mojix, is shown on the light. And now it's changed to the public or like an open session from this month. And every time like 6 or 7 people got together. And gonna be quite big. So also, and the Clone JP mailing list has started. Now 50 people have registered, but not yet, not active yet. And the most people are discussing at the ZOP Japan users group mailing list. It has more than 1,000 subscribers. So recently, September 4th, there's an open source conference. It's held in Tokyo, and the Clone seminar group has participated, and it was the largest participation. 3 hours, we occupied one room for 3 hours. And this is the picture of the some lecture by a member of Clone seminar. So 500 unique people has visited. And it's a kind of a big party of the open source conference. It's a participants. So, so then, next week, we had a ZOP developers camp. There's also 18 people participated near the resort, Lake Kawaguchiko, very famous resort area. And some people may have learned CMS and Core Block. And so one of the project is the Shibata is leading the project. And we are considering to, let's say, make Core Block based on Clone. It is based on ZOP right now, but we're gonna migrate to Clone based. And probably biggest news in or regarding Clone or ZOP, probably ZOP Japan Corporation is probably one of the big news in Japan. Released September 13, and it's a completely certified VAR and independent, and it's a subsidiary of open source Japan company, and business wise it's dealing ordinary stuff, and probably you may feel strange that it's open and then next together. But it's a kind of open source promotion group. And one of the strengths of this group is this group has a strong relationship with the government and public administration and large enterprises, because then Japan has established this relationship. And Oscar Alliance is the NPO, and which has the strong communication channel to the public sector. So, and we got some venture capital money. So our policy is the capitalism, community, and enthusiasm, and make it into the open source and binding. Our strategy is the current market is very small about Clone and ZOP. And we want to make it big. So and our goal is ZOP everywhere and build the business on top of it. Oh, okay. And So projects is the, and our localization, and also we're gonna make the nodes and legacy system killer application. And I want to know people, companies, and many commercial, projects and product services. Yeah, thank you very much.